Hello, and hopefully you still have your vision after watching the totality of the solar eclipse. That was a crazy day yesterday with the solar eclipse coming through North America, the United States, and many of us being in the path of totality, and most of the country even getting to see 90% totality, which was incredible. And then other news, we got two national champions. Men's and women's college basketball season is in the books. So what a great season for the South Carolina Gamecocks and of course the UConn Huskies, who both teams, the two best teams in basketball, actually won this year in their respective sports. So you don't see that very often, but they are the best, and they deserve the win. So, gonna be breaking those games down. Plus, the ratings for the women's game was incredible. And then, other news in college basketball, we got a big name coaching change. We're gonna stay tuned for that. MLB season under full swing. NBA season winding down. We are almost to the end, guys, almost to the playoffs. So, gonna be breaking all that down and more. But before we get started, make sure to follow the podcast on any platform, any streaming service, literally anywhere you get your podcast at Burgers and Brats. Stay up to date with latest news on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Burgers and Brats. So, let's start with the men real quick. March Madness, and there wasn't much madness. You did have the one game. We can kind of bring this in as well, but you had the one game, Oakland defeating Kentucky. That changed basketball. That game ended up completely altering the college basketball universe because John Calipari, head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats, who just signed a lifetime contract with Kentucky in 2019 for $86 million, 10 years, $86 million, is heading to the Arkansas Razorbacks on a 5-year deal. It was very shocking news that broke in the 11th hour the other night. Did not see that coming. Many of us did not. We kind of were like, Calipari's not going to get fired, but this upcoming next season could be a big testament to what he does. He's got one NCAA tournament victory in the last half decade. So, definitely some angry fans out there in Lexington, but a really surprising move. His style just has not been competitive in March Madness, and I think he's gonna have to go away with the one and done if he goes to Arkansas. I don't see Arkansas just becoming a big time program like that. Yeah, I would want to go play. I'd go play for John Calipari, but I don't see at least this year or even that next year the one and done happening in Arkansas. I just don't see it happening. Kentucky's still gonna be a blue blood, but they are going to take. I think they're gonna take a step down. It'll be interesting to see who comes in there, possibly a Nate Oates coming into Kentucky. They're gonna make a big splashy hire, but it is gonna be different. So it's gonna be interesting to see who they hire and if Calipari's methods will work in Arkansas, which I don't think they will, at least for those first few years. So that game, Oakland, Jack Gokey, just completely altering college basketball. Coach Calipari heading to Arkansas. So that was really the major upset that just shocked everything. But you had two one seeds make it to the national championship, first time since 2021, where Baylor defeated Gonzaga. You have a UConn team that is back-to-back champions, first time since 07-08. It was great basketball from UConn. They won every game by 18 points or more. Just incredible domination. You had Purdue that looked really good, that made it. But NC State, of course, 11 seed making it to the Final Four. I guess that was a big upset. But that team was hot coming in. They won five straight in 5 days. They won their first two games. You're like, hey, if NC State's not an upset pick anymore. They were that good heading into the Sweet 16. You're like, all right, we're picking NC State, even though they're 11 seed. So, good tournament, a fun. It's always fun watching March Madness of these 3 weeks. 64 teams getting a shot at winning a national championship, and you got the two best overall teams from the year making it this far. So, enjoyed it. Glad to see a well-deserved championship matchup between UConn and Purdue, and well-deserved championship from UConn. In the game, Zach Adey was dominant early. He looked really good early. Getting, I think he had 11 points early. Got two blocks. It just looked, nothing was going on inside for them. UConn wasn't going to get anything inside. I definitely thought this game was going to be more competitive going in. I was rooting for this game to happen in the Final Four. I wanted to see Edie versus Kling, and I just wanted to see this UConn team versus Purdue team. It was the best two teams all year, so I wanted to see it. I was really disappointed. I think NC State would have given us a better matchup against UConn than this Purdue team. I mean, come on. UConn, back-to-back champs, six-time champs. Six times they've won this championship, all since 1999, since the year I was born. All six in that short of time frame. Crazy. And another crazy stat that, I mean, I don't think this can ever be broken. I don't know when it will ever be broken, but UConn is 6-0 in national title games. 6-0. That is incredible. That is an incredible stat. For the Big Ten, Purdue. Oh, Michigan State was the last Big Ten champion. That was in 2000. That is embarrassing for the Big Ten. That is very, very embarrassing for that. Purdue thought they had a chance. Could have had a chance last year, but Big Ten basketball, baby. Gotta love it. Purdue, only 8 points in 10 minutes, in the first 10 minutes of the second half of this game. You are not going to win a game if you are getting 8 points in 10 minutes. Against the best team in the country. You're not going to win. The game plan was just weird. Purdue, I think on the year, they were about a 40% shoot. They're about 40% from the three-point line. And, I mean, they completely went away with it. They went 1 of 7 from three this game. Purdue went 1 of 7. This is a team that shoots 40%. Like, why are you going away from it? Shoot the ball. UConn on the other end, they're not as good 3-point shooting, but they're right there. 6 of 22. They only shot 27%. Shoot the rock if that's what you're known for. Stop changing your game plan just for Zach Eady, but shoot the ball. You're going to make shots. If they're not going in early, you'd even try if they were going to go in early. You didn't even shoot the ball. You shot 2 3-pointers in the whole first half. You didn't even attempt to see if you guys were hot or not. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous seeing that, going away from your plan, or from what your basketball is. UConn, 30 of 62 from the field, 48%. Purdue, 24 of 54 from the field, 44%. So, I mean, 8 less shots. Zach Edey, 13 of 23 for 33 points. The rest of the team, this was a few minutes before the end of the game, but 10 of 28 with about a minute and a half left to go. 10 of 28 for 25 points. Like, really? Really? You can't step up and help a big guy? I mean, Zach Edey's still, I mean, barely over 50%. But, I mean, you're a big man down low. You're making layups every time. I saw a lot of attempted dunks that just didn't go in. Attempted layups. Would have liked to see him finish that. Officiating was just, it was a little off. Honestly, I mean, it was a little weird in this game. I mean, it'd be called a charge on one end and then a block on the other. Push off on one end. Not a push off on the other, but it wouldn't be against like a certain team. It would just kind of switch back and forth like on those. It was just weird officiated, some bad missed calls and everything. But obviously you can't blame that. It was a blowout nonetheless. Just not a great game Not an entertaining game like I thought. First half, yeah, great. Fun. I mean, but just by the time we were 10 minutes in the second half, you're like, all right, this game's over. It's over. UConn out-rebounded Purdue 35 to 28, got 14 offensive rebounds compared to Purdue's 9. Needed Zach Edey more on the boards. I mean, he only had 33 seconds of total rest in the two games prior. I think he only got about 30 seconds this game. So I needed more dominance down low, more presence in the paint. Both teams about Purdue 9 turnovers, UConn 8. UConn with 18 fouls, Purdue with 15. So I mean, officiating or fouling wasn't a main thing on here, but officiating was just weird nonetheless in this game. So anyone have a perfect bracket? I don't think so. I don't think so. But congratulations to the UConn Huskies going back to back, losing 5 of 8 starters last season. And I mean, who's going to stop them next year? Who? I don't know. They could be the first team ever to three-peat. And I wouldn't be surprised. They won by more points this year. They looked better overall. Just dominating force. So, UConn Huskies. Could three-peat next year. Don't put it past them. Don Hurley. Heck of a coach. Heck of a coach. So that was really fun to watch. All right, let's go into the women's side where I enjoyed this more. I think most of us enjoyed the women's game, the women's Final Four, the women's national championship more than we enjoyed the men's. I really do. And ratings wise, they would tend to agree with me. 18.7 million viewers. 18.7. Most watched basketball game, men's, women's, NBA in the last 5 years. People were tuning in for this game. I made sure I was on my couch, ready to go for it. Wanted to see it. Final four, or yeah, in the game. That's South Carolina, man. Dawn Staley. Oh my gosh. Why does Darvin Ham still have a job? Give the Lakers job to Dawn Staley, man. Please. Please. She is a heck of a coach. Heck of a coach. And she went, it was funny watching on the sidelines. I mean, excuse me, Iowa. I think they're up 10-0 at one point. Staley's just sitting on the bench, looking at the just watching the game. I was like, Staley, you gonna call a timeout? But she had this look in her eyes. She was like, I know what my girls are gonna do. They're gonna get it turned around, and they did. But it was just funny watching that. I was like, where's the timeout? This is what Darvin Ham does. But he doesn't look as cool, and his team doesn't make the changes. So her girls knew what to do. South Carolina, 10th undefeated national champion. This is now the fifth program with three titles. And this is South Carolina's second championship in 3 years. South Carolina, I mean, the 87-75 win over Iowa, they had five players enter the WNBA draft last year. You had a whole starting five enter the draft, and you go undefeated. Win a tough conference, you win a heck of a championship game, and you defeat like one of, if not the greatest college basketball player of all time in women's. So it was interesting to see. I did like Dawn Staley giving props to Caitlin Clark at the end of the game. I enjoyed that very much, especially with Sue Bird. Diane Taurasi, like, what are you doing bringing down Caitlin Clark? She's about to bring so much money, viewership, recognition to the WNBA. Things that you have not done yet. You didn't do this. No one's tuning in to watch you. They're gonna tune in to watch Caitlin Clark, and you're bringing her down, saying, "Oh, just wait till she gets to the WNBA." I promise you, Caitlin Clark will be dropping dimes, dropping bombs. She will be cooking the WNBA when she gets there, and I can't wait for her to put you on your butt when she takes your ankles and drops 30 on your head. Like, I cannot wait for this. I am rooting so hard for Caitlin Clark to just go in and dominate the WNBA. Like, this is what players were talking about when LeBron was entering. They're like, oh, we'll see. We'll see what he's like when he enters. He ain't gonna do nothing. his own teammates were saying that. So I can't wait for Caitlin Clark to enter the WNBA and just cook these WNBA talking heads. I'm excited for it. Go on national TV, on your own show, on Scott Van Pelt, and just talk bad about Caitlin Clark. It's just ridiculous. Who is generating record viewership for women's sports. Has drawn interest from all over the, not just country, but the world, to tune in and watch, to help, which will help you and rebrand you. It just hurt. It sucked to see. It really did. But I did love Dawn Staley giving credit, taking time out of her congratulations speech, her victory speech, to thank Caitlin Clark and tell how awesome Caitlin Clark is and what good she has done for the sport. That was awesome to see, and that's another reason why I love Dawn Staley. So that was awesome to see that, especially with the hate that Caitlin Clark undeservedly received this week. For the game, Caitlin Clark 18 in the first quarter, which was the most ever in a women's Final Four game. I mean, came out dominant. They were up 10-0, 18-9, and then kind of just cooled off. And Clark finished with 30 points, but not a great 10 for 28. Not great efficiency there. Really went quiet. I mean, got up her shots, obviously, but still, it was a quiet. It was even a quiet 28 shots. I would just have no answer for Cardoza. No answer for down low against South Carolina. They were just dominating the paint. Incredible. 18 offensive rebounds for South Carolina. 33 defensive rebounds. That's a lot of freaking rebounds for a team. Iowa only 7-22. 7 offense, 22 defensive. So South Carolina just completely cooked them on the glass. Second chance points. Not letting Iowa get second chance points. That's how you win games. Especially you got to do that if you're much taller and bigger than your opponent. South Carolina also 10 more total shots and 10 more made shots on Iowa. Iowa 39% from the field, South Carolina 48% from the field. But, I mean, South Carolina got a lot of points in the paint, got a lot of points down low. The girls were making shots all over, though. So, yeah, 51 rebounds compared to 29. That's going to get you a victory anytime. South Carolina only 9 of 17 from the free throw line, Iowa 16 of 20. South Carolina, yeah, like I said, 48 points in the paint. You had 48 points in the paint for South Carolina. It's hard to lose games when you get that open or that close of a shot, that easy of a little drop in the breadbasket. You should be making those, and you're going to get a lot of points. Both teams had double-digit leads, so it's fun watching the game swing back and forth on it. Iowa, this was a big thing. This was, I mean, here's another big disparity right here. I mean, this team is nothing without Caitlin Clark. And that goes into, or I can prove that because Iowa had 0 bench points. 0. 0 bench points compared to South Carolina's 36. The South Carolina team is so deep. They're so young. They just got rid of 5 players in the draft. And they go out undefeated and you get help. 36 bench points. Dawn Staley, 109 wins, 3 losses in the last 3 seasons, finished with 2 national championships, 3 Final Fours, and 3 SEC championships. Man, this woman is on the Mount Rushmore now. She has got to be. She is on the Mount Rushmore of coaching. It was a great season for women's basketball. A lot of spotlight brought on the sport from, yeah, Caitlin Clark, but I mean, you got Paige Beckers, you got Juju, you got Cameron Brink. So it was Cardoza, this whole South Carolina team. So it was fun seeing women's sports getting lifted and all the attention coming on to the sport. It's going to be a little different next year with Caitlin Clark leaving. You won't get to watch her, but the sport's got some great players coming back, and I'm really excited for next season. I mean, 18.7 million viewers for the women's national championship. That's just remarkable. It has come a long way. So definitely excited for next season as well. So heck of a season for women's sports, women's college basketball. Clark and Cardoza will be top 5 picks in the WNBA draft on April 15th. So I'll be looking forward to that coming up next week. All right, before we dive into some other sports headlines, let's go into On This Day in History real quick. Sponsored by Hefner Eye Care. Great show out at Hefner Eye Care for the solar eclipse yesterday. It was awesome. A lot of fun, a lot of games, a lot of food. A lot of people going in and looking. Had our glasses on. Had our protective sunglasses on, but looking at the solar eclipse, watching it get dark. Got like 90% dark. Thought it was going to be a little darker. I didn't realize how much 10% of the sun is so much. I thought it'd be a little darker than that, but it was fun seeing America gather and watch the solar eclipse. And shout out Hefner Eye Care for having Burgers and Brats show up and be there. All right, on this day in history, 1865, Robert E. Lee surrenders to Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox Courthouse, ending the Civil War. Yeah, hey, it's on this day the Civil War just ended. 1970, Paul McCartney officially announces the split of the Beatles. I know a lot of y'all were really sad on that day. And happy birthday, Jim Barnes. Miss him on this day. 1974, Hank Aaron breaks Babe Ruth's home run record of 715 home runs. And then happy birthday, Jim Barnes, Kristen Stewart, and John Madden. That's on this day in history, sponsored by Hefner Eye Care. All right, let's go into the NBA real quick. Season's coming down, guys. I mean, we got till Sunday. That's it. And then we're going to the playoffs. It is here. I'm excited. I'm so stoked for these playoffs to happen. And you got a lot of parity in the West. The West is going to be so much fun. The East is the East. It's down a little bit this year. It's the Celtics out there. No one's catching them. Talk about that every week. You're like, "Oh, this team's going to catch them." Nope. Doesn't happen. They got a 15 game lead. 15 games in the East. Now, 2 through 6, even 2 through 7, okay, 2 through 8. 2 through 8 are close. You got 4-game difference in the 2 through 8 seating right now. 9 and 10 are going to be the Bulls and the Hawks. But, I mean, 2 through 8. That is major implications the rest of the way. Bucks 15 games back. The Magic 1 game. Magic and Knicks tied at 3, 1 game back of the 2 seed. Then you have the Cavs a half game back of that. Pacers 2.5 back of the 2 seed. 76ers 3.5 back, and then Heat 4 games back. So really, 2 through 5 are a game and a half difference. 2 through 4, 1 game. These games matter. 4 seeding. I mean, who would you rather play if you're the Magic? I mean, you ever play the Knicks, Cavs, Bucks? It doesn't really matter. I think you're winning your first round anyways. Out of the Sixers or the Heat, probably. But I mean, if you're the Heat, you'd rather play the. I mean, you're going to play the Bucks and the Celtics. Maybe you have a chance. Cavs, I mean, it's going to be crazy seeing this right here. I mean, 1, 2, and 3 in the West, tied or 1 game difference. Tied half a game, 1 game. Timberwolves, Nuggets, and Thunder. Those teams have officially clinched playoff spots. 4-seeded Clippers, 2 games up on the Mavericks, who are 2 games up on the Suns and Pelicans at the tie for that 6 seed right there. That's right on the brink. And then Lakers just half a game back from that 8 seed there in the 9 seed right now. Pelicans, like I said, around that 7. Warriors clinched that 10 seed. I mean, we're gonna get some great matchups in the first round. Some great matchups. We could get Clippers Mavs in the first round. Clippers could be Clippers Suns. Could be Nuggets Pelicans, Nuggets Kings, Timberwolves Lakers, Timberwolves Kings. It's gonna be good. Thunder Suns in the first round. That's gonna be insane. That is going to be awesome. So no matter what, the NBA, at least in the West, is going to be a heck of a first round. Even the East will be fun. So Boston-Milwaukee on tonight. That game does nothing for Boston, but hey, Milwaukee's got to win that game. You got New York and Chicago playing. Sacramento OKC play. Golden State and the Lakers play. Oh my gosh. Clippers Phoenix play tonight. These are incredible games that you have to be tuning in for. The one seeds, Denver and Minnesota play. I mean, come on. You can't write this late into the season with so many games mattering. You even got Phoenix and the Clippers. You got that game Wednesday. New York Boston on Thursday. New Orleans, Sacramento on Thursday. Every single game is mattering right now. And, I mean, it's going to be so much fun to watch this final stretch come down to the wire. I'm tuning in to every single game. In the NBA, the Bucks are 15-16 since hiring Doc Rivers. Didn't really work out for him. Paul George, PG-13. 23 of his 39 points came in the fourth quarter and a comeback win versus Cleveland. That hurt seeding for the Cleveland Cavs. Kyrie Irving, Luka ball out, send Houston home. They're not going to the playoffs. They're going to the couch. Jokic, NBA straw poll came out for the MVP this year. Jokic, unanimous first place. 85 first place MVP votes with the media members. Shea is second with 10 points. And Luka is third with 31 second-place votes. In the MLB, the Yankees, Pirates, Dodgers, Guardians, the best teams in the MLB. Yankees, man. I'm saying it early. Yankees, winning the World Series. Actually, I'm not going to say that. Every time I said that, they've lost. So, Yankees 9-2, though. watch for them. They look amazing. Shohei Ohtani's getting back into the groove of stuff, hitting home runs. He looks more comfortable after that story broke with the gambling, but looks to get back into it. Marlins and Rockies, 3 combined wins. Yikes. Throw it into the ocean. We don't want to see it. WrestleMania 40 happened the Sunday night. I haven't really watched WWE in a long time. Love John Cena. And my goodness, what a crazy, I saw on Twitter, 5 minutes of action. I mean, you had John Cena come out. He takes out Solo Sikoa. The Rock slams John Cena. Roman Reigns hits Seth Rollins, who's going to take out The Rock. The Undertaker comes in, chokeslams The Rock. And then Cody Rhodes wins the WWE Championship over Roman Reigns. Like, what a crazy endgame type for the main event. That was insane. 5 minutes. You haven't seen the 5 minutes? Go watch. I mean, throwback to your childhood. Incredible WrestleMania 40. Cody Rhodes getting his first WWE Undisputed Championship. So it was all. I would love John Cena. Love seeing him back in the ring. I mean, him versus Rock. That just takes me back to my teenage years, watching that WrestleMania. Ugh. Those are some great WrestleManias there. All right, let's go into my final segment, who I'm sharing my burger and brat with. Share my burger and brat with this new app that you can get on your phone. It's from Global Rescue. It gives reassurance to travelers with up-to-date breaking news. So if you like to travel, like to be in the aware, into the know for your surrounding areas, you got to get the Grid 2.0 app. They have a red button to push if you're stuck in a natural disaster, say you break a bone on a mountaintop, etc. And you can also see if there are strikes going on in your city. So like a railroad strike, a subway strike, other kind of worker strikes. So that can impact you. The global rescue staff of military, vets, paramedics, translators, and intelligence experts are on standby all the time, 24/7, being able to help, possibly help you out. The membership app sends targeted notifications / alerts to those who could be impacted by civil unrest, disease, safety issues, communication blackouts, transportation disruptions, or even natural disasters. So, love to travel. You want to be aware about everything, especially if you're going to a foreign country. You got to get the Grid 2.0 app. Great for everyone. It can help save your life. All right. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully, I mean, what a great few days. You had WrestleMania. You had a total solar eclipse. You got to watch men's and women's March Madness come to an end, and you get the Masters coming up this week. So that's what I'll be breaking down later on in the week. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow the podcast on any platform, any streaming service, literally anywhere. Get your podcast at Burgers and Brats and stay up to date with latest news on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Burgers and Brats. Thank you all for listening. Take care. Stay safe.